So hear now God's word as it is given to us in the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, 9th chapter, the 16th verse. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. And may the Lord bless this reading of his word to our understanding. Pray with me. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we launch into this part of our service, we pray that you will be glorified. We know that the testimonies of the missionaries who are going to share with us this morning are real reactions to being on your mission field and seeing your hand and your glory at work. And Lord, may that be the overarching focus that we have. That we are cogs in a magnificent and beautiful machine, this kingdom of heaven that you created and that you placed here. And that we are just grateful and in awe to be your children and to be given the opportunity to have the kinds of experiences that you have given us. So Lord, I pray that you will not only impress upon our hearts the need that we have to share the gospel, but also at the same time that we will have a desire to live that gospel so that others might see you in us and that you would in turn be glorified by that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you're visiting with us, you may not have experienced what we do here at New Hope when we send a mission team to the mission field. But it's very scriptural, and it is something that we take very seriously. When Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary voyage, when they came back to Antioch, their sending church, and later on they went to Jerusalem and did the same thing, they went forward to euangelizo, the Greek word, to share the gospel, to tell the good news of Christ. But then when they returned, they, anageo is the word, they reported back the good news, not only once, but twice, because they considered it very important as part of the missionary effort to tell the story all the way around, to go out into the mission field, to tell other people about Jesus. But then when they saw God's amazing work in the mission field, to come back and to tell the story to the church that sent them. And so every time we go on a missions trip, whether it's to Haiti or whether it's to Kentucky or whether it's any place else, we give those who have gone an opportunity to share their testimonies with you. It is uplifting for you, it is uplifting for them, and it is glorifying to God because he is the one who makes all of this possible. And so that's what we're going to do. We had a good-sized team who went with us to Haiti this time, and they have some marvelous insights and good stories to tell. And everybody's cringing. Oh, my goodness, is he going to actually start his long-winded sermon? Well, actually, I decided on the fly in the first service that I didn't want to talk about Jonah because it was so relevant, and I didn't just want to throw it out. So we kind of switched gears. But, you know, since everybody else talked about the things and the parts of the trip that meant so much for them, my highlight of the trip was when Ephraim returned our trucks for us. That was, I mean, you talk about, if you know, part, if you just cannot imagine the Port-au-Prince airport. It's just absolutely a chaotic situation. There's this ridiculous excuse for a parking lot that somehow you're supposed to return your trucks, and we had three of them. And so you get in line and you sit there for, you know, 45 minutes and not move. And Ephraim says, look, guys, let's just go. We'll take them back. I'll take them back for you. And that was such a blessing. This is the kind of support that we get, not just from this side, but from that side. But I also have to embarrass somebody else because everybody has a time or a moment on every trip that is a spiritual moment. And for me, I don't know if you noticed the international flavor of our team and our trip. And when we're in Haiti, we have this sort of tradition that at every time we gather for a meal, somebody will choose a hymn and then say a prayer. They're the ones who will bless the food. Well, it was Egle's turn to, well, it wasn't her turn. She chose the hymn. And so, Egle, you get to say the prayer. And she said the most glorious prayer in Spanish. And none of us understood a word of what she, well, I think Vivian did, and some of them speak Spanish, understood what she said. Well, I guess Freddie did too. But for the rest of us, we didn't understand what she said, but it was a glorious prayer. And it just hit home to me. You know something? There are languages that are unspoken. There are languages that are spoken that, you know, even though you don't understand the words, this is the way the Holy Spirit moves. And that was a very special time. And I again, I'm sorry to embarrass Egle, but it was just such a beautiful prayer. But I do want to share the word for you this morning, because not only do we take it very seriously, this report back session, we also take it very seriously that you came to hear the word of God. And so I have about a 55-minute sermon that I'm not going to deliver. Fooled you, didn't I? No, we're going to do it next week. And I just want to talk a little bit about this passage. Before we do, let's just ask the Lord's blessing on our understanding. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I realize that this is an abbreviated exposition or time in your word, and I realize it's going to be very short. That's not to diminish or take anything apart from your word. We feel that we are indeed following what you have told us to do in your word, which is to report back your glory, what you have accomplished through the likes of us, which we are all in awe of. But Lord, as I spend just a few minutes in this particular verse, may we get the message. May it reside in us. May it resonate in us what Paul is saying and what he means, and the way that he says what he says. We will indeed give you the glory in Christ's name. Amen. It's specifically when we go to Haiti, when we go to Pinon, year after year, our trip coincides with a festival that they have. And I've talked to you, many of you, about this before. It's called the Harvest Festival. And on the one hand, it's a celebration of God's sustenance. It's really wonderful. We went to a small harvest festival in one of our churches, and they're bringing chickens and ducks and coconuts and things into the church as an offering, a celebration of what God has provided. But the real celebration is not a harvest of things, it's a harvest of souls. These are evangelistic churches. And as you heard the team say, they're growing churches because they constantly share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what they're all about, is bringing the good news into some of these areas that are not familiar with it as we are. They don't have Bibles, they don't have radio, they don't have TV, they don't have movies, they don't have any of the things that we have. And so they've grown up, many of them, in an environment of either voodoo or Catholicism, and they really haven't heard the good news about Jesus Christ. And so these churches that we support and help build, they're all about doing that. And so that's what the Harvest Festival is about. And every year they pick a theme. And this year, 1 Corinthians 9:16, that's the theme. Especially when Paul says, I have absolutely nothing to boast in if I share the gospel. I mean, that's not something that I can put on my card, or that's not something that I can point to and say, you know, look at me, I'm a great gospel sharer. No, Paul presents it as if that is just as natural as breathing air. I mean, how can he boast in something that is a necessity? My heart beats, right? Now, am I going to boast in that? No, I mean, that's just the most natural thing that a person who is alive experiences. Well, the same thing is true about sharing the gospel, folks. That's what Paul is saying. Now, yes, he's talking about preaching the gospel. Yes, he's saying, woe be unto me if I do not preach the gospel. But I think the same principle applies to every single one of us. Woe be unto us if we are not about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because after all, that is the commission that he left us with. When he sat on the side of that mountain of Olives, and he told his disciples all about what the work of the kingdom was, it was sharing the gospel. When he gave his great commission just before he left, it was about sharing the gospel. He started his ministry by saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus was all about the gospel, and that's what he shared, and that's what he left us to share. And that's why that verse was so relevant, at least to me, because before the team got there, Kay and I left on Saturday, the 10th of February, and the team came on the 15th. So we were there 5-6 days, and the reason we went early is, first of all, to Cap Haitian, where I preached on Sunday, and then we drove to to Pinon, where we led a 3-day seminar. And the 3-day seminar, it's just so funny that, you know, it just kind of dawned on us that here we've been developing ways to share the gospel using all kinds of methods for 14 years here at New Hope, and we've never written it down, ever. And so we wrote it down, and we wrote down all of the skits that we do, and the instructions of how you do it, all the illustrations that we use and in the sharing of the gospel, the hand motions that we do. We wrote it all down. We had it translated into French. And we held a seminar for pastors. I'm going to say there was about 250, 300 pastors. And they came from Cap Haitian, but there were also about 400 young people there. And the reason so many young people were there, we stay in a place we call the New Hope House now, because we actually built the second story of this house. There had to be 100 people sleeping upstairs. I don't know how they fit them all in, but we just kept watching them go by and go and filing up the stairs and going upstairs. The place was absolutely crawling with young people. The reason being that we were there during the week or during the days of Carnival, which we call Mardi Gras. It's a time of debauchery. It's a time of sinfulness and just bad morals. And so the youth leaders and the pastors really wanted to get their young people out of the big cities, out of Cap Haitian, out of Gonaïves and places like that. So we had 14 different youth groups who gathered there together, and I'm going to say there's 400 kids about. Some of them got trapped away from the seminar because there was a roadblock and they couldn't get through, and they're trapped on the other side. But still, it was absolutely filled with people, and what we taught them on this occasion was the gospel, the same way that we do it, the same sketch, the same thing we are teaching our three-year-olds here. We were teaching the pastors of Haiti, and I was challenging them, and I was saying, you know something, here we are, we're coming over from the United States, we're going into the remote places of Haiti so that we can share the gospel. Why don't you do the same thing? Why don't you raise up missionaries within your own church and start evangelizing out in the countryside those who really don't see anybody? Quite often, they've never heard the gospel. Many times, we go places where they've never seen an American. And so we went to empower these pastors to pretty much do the same thing that we are doing, which is to use any means possible to tell the story, to illustrate the story, to do hand motions, to take skits out of the Bible like the Daniel skit that we did, and to use these as a way to share the gospel with people who have never heard it before. You know, the thing about the gospel is that it never changes. It's exactly the same for us as it was for Paul. It's the same gospel. But every generation, I think, is given a challenge. Every generation is given a challenge is how do you not water it down or change it or make it or flash it, but how do you share the gospel with people in this world, in this generation, in a way that they can understand it? Now, we are so blessed here at New Hope Community Church because we had some exposure. Patty Cannon came here for many years before she recently passed away. And she developed Simply Jesus, and she developed many of these programs that we are using. And she bequeathed them to us when she passed away. She gave us, take my material, because I know that you will use it. Well, one of her dreams, one of her desires was to see exactly what happened last week. Hundreds of pastors who were learning these methods so that they could teach their own young people. You know, I can't measure what our effectiveness is over there, but I can tell you what our effectiveness is over here. You've seen these young people and these adults who have come here, and they have learned how to share the gospel, and they go on missions trip after missions trip, and they know how to share the gospel better than most pastors do. I mean, our young people, our kids, know how to share the gospel better than many pastors do because we've introduced that to them. So I can go to those pastors now in Haiti and I can say, you know something, woe be unto us if we're not sharing the gospel. Woe be unto us if we do not make this as relevant as we possibly can without changing one little bit of it. Now, when we train our young people to be gospel sharers and show them what the work of the kingdom actually is, and that it is more exciting and more fun than any of the sensual immorality that our culture has to offer, kids get on fire and they get excited. And so something happens to the young people. They begin to realize that kingdom work is really valuable. And at the same time, they're sharing the gospel with other smaller children who are learning about Jesus. You see, it works all the way around. Well, it had a profound effect on these pastors because this is something that they were extremely hungry for. They need tools. They need resources. And these were resources that they had and a challenge for them to utilize them. So they've already asked me to come back in July and August because it was just too much information for them. They just completely, it was information overload. And we want to spend more time with each individual church or group of pastors, not just teaching them in a lecture format, but actually getting them to actually do it, getting out in the street, going into schools, and actually using this just like we did at Bernard. We gave an object lesson because that's exactly what we're teaching, is exactly what we did. But I want to close with one story that occurred at the end of the seminar. There's this great pastor. He's been to every seminar. He's a big, tall guy. He's probably a lot younger than me, but I'm going to say he's one of the elders of the group. And he just was enthralled with it. And when it came time to do one of our skits, and I think most of you have seen the Frog and the Prince skit, you know, with the frog where the prince turns into a frog and then has to turn back into a prince again, and it teaches us a story about Jesus. Well, he wanted to be the prince turned frog. And you got to jump around, you know, and say ribbit, ribbit, and those kinds of things with a little frog hat on your head. And boy, I tell you what, he took the part, and he took it to heart, and he's jumping around, and there's a part, you see, he's a frog in a swamp, and these maidens have to come through the swamp, you know, because it's love first kiss is the only way that you're going to turn back into a prince again, you know. And so usually the maidens come by, and he goes up to them and puckers up and says, kiss me, you know. He did such a good job of that the girls playing the maidens didn't have to act like they were screaming and ran away. They screamed and ran away on their own because he was really playing his part. But it's what he said at the end of the seminar that I wanted to share with you. After it was all over, he got up, he asked to speak, and he told a story that I had not heard before. The revolutionary leader at the time that Haiti won its independence over 200 years ago, the first all-African nation to win its independence outside of Africa. But when it was Toussaint Louverture who was that leader. And after they had won the war and they had lost and they had spilled their blood, he stood up in front of his troops and he said, this has been a hard-fought victory and we have spent our blood. And he looked at his troops and he said, woe be unto you if you don't do something with it. Woe be unto you if you do not make something out of the liberty that so many have died so that you might have. Woe be unto you if you don't spread this. And then he took that packet that we had given and he held it up and he said, I want to tell you something here today. Woe be unto you if you do not preach the gospel. Woe be unto you if you take this tool and sit on it and you don't do something with it and you don't take the gospel and do exactly what we're talking about here. Take it out into the hinter regions and share the gospel with people who have never heard it before. He was on fire. So brothers and sisters, when you put together those packets and it's a lot of fun and it's a time of fellowship, recognize you are providing a resource to pastors who are starving for such resources. And so who knows what the Lord's going to do with this and how many different churches we're going to be able to share and how the gospel is going to be shared in a way that people can understand it, people can grasp that. And so, you know something, I am encouraged. I'm not boasting. Far be it from me to boast. I am not Kay shaking her head. We're not going to boast. We're not even going to get close to it. But you know something? We are encouraged because we see God's work through us. And we see God's work on the mission field. And that's what this morning is all about. So God bless you, and God bless the work, and God bless His gospel to the understanding of Haiti. Because I think that we actually can make a difference. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for you. And we know that nothing that we try would ever work, would ever be an encouragement, whatever we would see results, if it was not your Spirit doing the work. We are simply hands and legs and mouths and ambassadors. And we want to stay that way, dear Lord. We don't want to step out ahead. And we don't want to start, as Paul said, how can I boast for doing something that is the most natural thing for me to do? How on earth can I act like I deserve a credit for that? I might as well ask a credit for breathing. And Lord, I know that that's the way you want every single person in this room to be. I know that most people can't go to the mission field, and I know that there are reasons that they can't, whether they want to or not. I pray, as Clayton mentioned, I pray that you would open doors for people who never dream that they could go on the mission field, even as you did for Kay and I. But for those who will not, Lord, you know that there are so many ways that they can be involved. Their prayer support primarily, and we know that. But also, just the things we do to prepare for these trips. I thank you for the dedication, and I thank you for the work and the real love and the heart for missions that you have shown in this church. And we give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.